Good evening and welcome to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. Welcome back to the second part. I'm Amanda Coulson. I'm the director of the National Art Gallery, and you're listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. Now, you can also go to our own website. We've been posting the shows after they air. So in case you missed the beginning or you listen to the whole show and you think it's just so amazing, you want to listen to it again, you can go to the NAGB website, go to the education menu and scroll down and you'll find Blank Canvas and you'll see the photograph and a summary of the show and you'll be able to listen to all of the shows that we've archived. So do that, www.nagb.org.bs. While you're on the website, we also have a calendar of events coming up, so do go there and look at that because we have our monthly film screenings, we have our openings, we have talks, we have Women's Wednesdays where we talk about women's issues that are organized with another group, and we have a lot of stuff going on at the National Art Gallery outside of just the exhibitions that are on show. Of course, we encourage you to come to the exhibitions. Don't forget the National Art Gallery is always free on Sunday if you're Bahamian or a resident. So we really want the community to come out and to support what we're doing and to support our artists. So we're inviting you to come out on Friday night to the opening of the fifth iteration of the Double Dutch series. This particular one is called Of Skin and Sand. It's bringing together Jamaican artist Leesho Johnson and Bahamian artist Edrin Simonet. We heard from Edrin before the break. We're going to turn to Leesho now and ask him about, you know, his development as an artist, and then we'll talk about the project itself. So, Leesho, welcome to the Bahamas and welcome to the Blank Canvas.
Thank you very much for welcoming me.
Yeah, of course. It's been good having you here.
Yep.
So, I came across your work, I think, for the first time when I was visiting the Jamaica Biennial 4 years ago, I think it was, and you had that huge wall mural, and I did a studio visit with you too at NLS. You were making the little tiny sculptures there, and I just thought your work was amazing. And I just only really learned from talking to you that you also did some street art, and that was kind of because, you know, when I saw your final work, it was sort of very, you know, ready for a gallery, right? It was in a kind of white cube space, and it was very. I don't want to say perfect, but clean in a way that's very different from graffiti and street art. So can you tell us a little bit about how you started in Kingston and how you got to where you are right now?
Sure. Well, first thing, I grew up in a studio. My father is an artist. He graduated from the Jamaica School of Art in 1984. Mm-hmm. And I was born in 1984. So from that point till now, I have had that connection with art. The techniques I use every day, I mean, it's based on stuff that I've watched him do. So mm-hmm. he used to do a lot of hand-done graphics, and he also had a fine art studio. He loved watercolors. So, you know, I kind of just grew up watching, messing up some of his paintings, stuff like that. I didn't really want to be an artist. I always had a talent. My father always saw it. And it was something I couldn't really separate myself from, but I didn't see that something that was it couldn't give me the life that I think I could have had. Mm-hmm. It was very touristy. It was because I was surrounded by a public that didn't really, you know, see the value of art unless you're doing it, you know, to sell directly, or, you know, they were like, we can't do portraits, stuff like that.
I think we have the same issue here, and I'm sure Edrin probably speaks to that. I'm sure a question you get a lot is, how can you sell that? Like, there is still an understanding that the only way to survive as an artist is to make work that sells to a tourist community.
Of course.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, interestingly, when I decided to be an artist, it's like a counter effect of the whole foreign mentality and, you know, my own wanting to come into myself. So I went to the UK in 2007, and in going there was kind of like a little bit of a political upheaval, and there was also a drug issue that was going on with Jamaica and Colombia, and I think that was like one of the last year that Air Jamaica flew to England, and that was without a visa. So, you know, you can just give an understanding of the difference between that time and now.
Yeah, I didn't even know you needed a visa. I would have thought it was a former colony. Yeah, okay. Uh-huh. So, you know, I mean, I know if Jamaicans have a really hard time traveling. Yeah, I know that. Again, we feel as Bahamians that we have a hard time traveling. Yeah. But I think I know that it's harder for Jamaican.
Yeah, so in doing that, my 2 weeks in the UK, I decided, okay, you know, I need to do something. And I decided to go study graphic designing at Edmund College at that time. So I've divorced somewhat with painting for a long while and art, I'd say.
Or sort of a studio practice.
Yeah, studio practice. And funny enough, I have been using it. I have been using those same old connections in Negril to kind of get my, get some money, extra money. I would paint works and send them to hotels to sell, and I'll take the money and, you know, contribute it to my education. It was also my first time kind of getting in touch with a computer, because I didn't grow around that. We didn't have computers or anything like that. So, you know, just heavily reliant on what I already knew. And then it's at that time, you know, during the internet, you know, we were able to kind of, it was my exposure to kind of seeing what was happening in other countries. And I think I was developing this interest for, you know, I don't know if you call it graffiti or street art, but I'd call it street art. So those very picturesque ones, like versus the very words, you know.
Definitely. I feel like street art is probably more of an appropriate word for somebody like Banksy or somebody, you know, exactly. Artists who actually use the architecture to do something visual rather than just like, write names and tags. And even though sometimes they can be done also very beautifully.
Yeah, of course.
But but
for, I mean, what had happened is that, you know, I was looking at a lot of Japanese artists and a lot of German artists at the same time. And I mean, Boris Hopek was one of those ones that popped out to me. And, you know, I wanted to see that in my own space. And I noticed, I mean, one of my, what contributed to my mindset was just how much different the urban space is from a rural space. So where I'm coming from is very country, if you want to call it, where lots of bush and, you know, not a lot of development. And then when you go into the city, it's just so much how much people are kind of closed off, you know, if if it's either culturally, you know, because I think, like, I was hanging out with a lot of people who were very aspirational to, like, a foreign type of stuff. So they don't know anything about, you know, traditional culture. Lots of it is based on, like, rock music, alternative music, hip hop, stuff like that. And I it kind of taken me aback as I was like, you know, what's so fun about this? I mean, it was fun. I mean, one of the, I've realized it's kind of like an internal struggle for most Jamaicans, because, you know, dancehall and that stuff is has always been there, but it's like there isn't so much of a forward acceptance for it, because it's, you know, it's kind of, it's very raunchy, it's
sure, and it's perceived as something low class, basically,
very much so. So my exercise was really to merge these two spaces. I wanted, you know, I wanted to see what would happen if I take dancehall into the gallery, and that kind of started the whole thing going.
And your work deals with, I mean, the one I saw, I mean, it deals a lot with, and we'll get to this in the next section, because I think both of the shows deal with this idea of, like, gender identity.
Yeah.
Right? And I think, Edrin, in your work, you know, it's a lot, there's a lot of, again, identity in general is, like, what does it mean to be Bahamian, and what does that mean, like, genetically, historically, who are we today? But also this idea of, like, maleness and what the... you know, what men should be, or what have you. And of course your work, Li Shu, in dancehall is very much about the stereotyping of of gender roles and the underlying, and I think in both, the underlying violence that does to us as individuals, in a psychological way, but also in a very physical way.
Of course.
And so the work that I saw at Jamaica Biennial was these, you know, I don't want to use the word cartoon because it sounds childish, but I think that's the easiest way to get listeners who don't know the work. So they're kind of like little cartoon figures, heavily caricatured, and the women are being subjected to things that are sort of overtly sexual. I mean, there's a lot of actual acts happening, but it's just, you know, the way the body is treated, and with the speakers and the speakers from dance hall and the sound cooking system. Pots and all these different sound systems, but all these things that are very part of Jamaican culture kind of blended with this way of looking at women that is really unhealthy. And there were some practices that I was like, Lisha, explain to me why that woman's got like a brick on her head. And you just told me some stories about dance hall, which were like insane.
It's, I don't know how to explain it. I mean,
it's interesting.
I've tried to explain it because, funny enough, because I'm part of that culture, I understand why these women are doing it.
Yeah.
It's just the flip side, you know, it's something very bad. Like, you know, you don't take bricks and
yeah.
and drop it on your Gucci. You know what I mean?
But I think, well, I think, I mean, I can, as a woman, I can understand it, right? Because we're brought up to be told that the only way to be accepted by men is to sexualize yourself, right? Or to be attractive. Right. And, you know, if you want attention or you want to feel good about yourself, you know, you put on your heels and your lipstick, right? Basically.
Or your short skirt.
Or your short skirt. But then you get yourself into a situation which is not one that you wanted. You really just wanted people to be nice to you.
Yeah, right.
And suddenly there are times that can turn very quickly into a situation that is really not pleasant. Mm-hmm. And so as a woman, I understand that. It's like you do to yourself things because you've been brought up to told that's what you should do to be, you know. So it creates that culture of, you know, girls going out in their short skirts and getting drunk and suddenly the next day something horrible's happened. And you know, and then we all want to victim shame and say it's their fault. But, you know, it's, so it's a really interesting psychological. So I mean, I understand why the women do that because it gets them attention,
right?
And that's what they're craving. Maybe they're lonely. Maybe they feel misused. Well, maybe, you know,
I'm going to also say that in that scene itself, it's part of the, you know, the, I don't know how to describe it, but it's not something that's supposed to lead to that.
Right. Right.
I mean, these women do crazy stuff, and you see various parts of them, but they still go home safely.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of part of the whole act. And that's it. It's really a performance. It's a performance. It's nothing more than that. But it gets definitely crazy.
Like, and
it
kind of borders on
buildings.
Yeah.
They jump off trees, you know.
Yeah, and putting themselves in dangerous situations. Maybe they're not dangerous sexual situations, but they're, So anyhow, and I think that's probably why Holly brought you guys together, because there was this kind of, again, a sort of how we deal with the body, how we look at ourselves, our gender issues. Did the internet help you guys, like, get to know each other better? Like, did you go in on, like, research each other's work?
Definitely. I was exposed to Leisha's work. My friend Jody Minnis had, had done a residency in where was it, Aruba?
Caribbean Link.
Caribbean Link, right.
Right, and she had mentioned, oh, you know, you should look at Leisha Johnson's work, because she knew of my background of being into street art and graffiti and stuff, and so I saw it. Because I... Aside from, like, you know, like gang tags, raiders, and you know, whatever you see around town, seeing graffiti in the Caribbean or street art being created in such a manner where, you know, it's conceptually strong, I didn't see that many places. And so when I saw it, I was instantly kind of drawn to his work by seeing that, you know, and the way that he kind of tongue in cheek took these aspects of dancehall, these situations, and sort of kind of added this playfulness but then this serious undertone to it. I found it really interesting, and the fact that he occupied public spaces, you know, like I saw he had one where he had the older ladies with the bananas on top of their head,
right?
And then he had, like, you know, one of his caricatures in almost like a 630 position with a banana on her back. So it was like, you know, you're taking this whole tradition and then, like, adding this new layer to it, you know. So
and in a way also showing the tradition up in a way, right? Because, like, images that we've grown up with that we think are, or that we've been taught to think are not harmless,
right?
This, like, nativizing of, you know, oh, the old lady with the banana, isn't that picturesque? Let's paint a picture of that and sell that to a tourist, right? And you know, again, that there's a damage in that,
of course,
even in that, that we haven't kind of acknowledged. So again, we've got to the end of the segment again, but we have 20 minutes and the next one, so we can get deeply into it, because the hour always goes much quicker than you always think it will do. I'm in the studio speaking with Edrin Simonet, who is our Bahamian part of the Double Dutch, where the series where we bring Bahamian artists together with an artist from the greater Caribbean region to have a dialogue and create artworks that speak to one another. His counterpart in that for the show of Skin and Sand, which is going to open on Friday night at the National Art Gallery, is Leisha Johnson from Kingston, Jamaica. And we've been talking about, we're beginning to talk about the piece. They're working together. Again, we'd encourage you to come out on Friday and support the artist. There'll be a performance. Edrin, you can speak that after the break. There's a Bahamian poet who will be reciting a poem she's written for your piece. And there will be an artist talk. And then, of course, there'll just be general hanging out and having fun. So we encourage everybody to come out and do that. That's on Friday night, the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas. You're listening to The Blank Canvas, the show where we speak about visual art and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson, the director of the National Art Gallery, and you're listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. We're going to be right back after this break.